Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
It's BudPod 138.
138. It's a bumpy plate.
A bumpy plate.
A horrible bumpy plate. Imagine if you had if you were eating on a plate and had bumps. That'd be horrible.
That is actually yeah, and they imagine they were like, they weren't like enormous bumps that make you think, oh, maybe this is like a kind of clever way of dividing the dish, or just like a bit, just a kind of bumpy, just like a badly made plate.
Yeah. I mean, it would actually have more grip. The plate would have better grip on onto your food. The food would be less likely to slip around.
Oh, see, I'm imagining bumps that are like irregular, like, you know, 1 or 2 inch in diameter.
One or two inch in diameter. I sort of am as well. But I guess, yeah, it wouldn't have that much of a grip benefit. It would be more unpleasant than convenient.
Imagine trying to cut up a steak on a bumpy plate.
That's actually a horrible idea. And then, yeah, you stick the knife down and you drag it towards you, and it's going over ridges and into valleys. And
yes.
Horrible.
Ooh.
And you're like, is that bone? Is that a piece of bone? Oh no, it's my bumpy plate.
It's my bumpy plate. And all, like, anything a bit liquidy would be sort of endlessly channeled through the valleys.
Yeah, rivulets of gravy. Which, it'd be a nightmare for you. It'd just compound your already intense hate of liquid foods.
Yes, my
liquid on food.
Yeah, my hatred for what I'm gonna call uncontrolled wetness.
Also, the title of my debut porno.
Yeah. Yes. Yes. Which of course promises the least controlled wetness ever.
Yeah, the runners aren't even allowed to mop up from previous takes.
No, that's part of it. It's a kind of like cinema verite. You can see the layers of work that go into producing it. So in some ways, it's actually quite artistic.
It's a continuity nightmare, of course, because layers of wetness sort of pop in and out. But that's just part and parcel of the form.
Yeah, coffee cups disappearing and coming back.
Speaking of lo-fi, I apologize to any podbuds listening for my quality. This week I am on the road again. I'm in Belfast. I'm in Belfast.
And Ken, are you allowed to say why you're in Belfast?
Yes, I can. I participated in Celebrity Mastermind.
Mastermind.
Only the most masterful minds of the most celebrated celebrities are allowed to partake. Who will be the most celebrated mind? I'm not allowed to say how it went.
Yeah.
For understandable reasons, but it was an interesting experience. It felt a lot like going to an exam for me. I felt like a nerd. I was the only one who turned up with his own notes.
Oh, wow.
I felt like I was supposed to bring my pens and calculators in a clear case.
Oh, yeah, clear case, yes.
You remember that, the clear case? Make sure you weren't bringing a bomb in or whatever. Bringing a bomb into your geography exam. But yeah, so it films here in Belfast. And it's a lovely town, actually, Belfast. I've only been here once before, years ago, to perform quite a scary gig at the Empire Theatre.
I know the gig, but, yeah.
Yes, it's infamous. But you know, when you're not here to perform in front of angry drunk men, it's quite a nice visit. It's quite a nice town.
Yeah.
I like the Northern Irish accent, although it is, and I know it's a cliche, it is imbued with an inescapable tension. There's something, like today when I woke up and went down to have hotel breakfast, even when the guy took my room number, I felt like, well, should I tell you? I felt like, he was like, what's your room number? And I was like, oh, why? Who are you going to tell? And he was like, and then when he got it, he's like, come with me. Didn't take me to the breakfast room. But the way he said it, come with me, I almost expected him to say after that, were you followed? I expected him to ask me, did you come alone? they're nice.
That would be quite a funny, if a bit obvious sketch where you go down and then in the breakfast room, it's just like a normal, like loads of like, you know, pensioners and like, families and people who are going to weddings and the usual crowd you see at a breakfast room in a hotel, but they're all wearing balaclavas. just popping bits of a fry up through the little mouth hole.
Nice.
Could we have some
tea
more
or
toast,
coffee,
please?
Tea, please.
Yeah. I also think I've been to Belfast. I think three times, and I enjoyed every time. But I agree, it's not so much menace as like I can tell there's stuff going on that I'm not picking up on, or I get the impression there is.
What, just like out on the street, or just behind closed doors,
or like I know for a fact that there's all this like fucking secret code stuff that people have if they're actually from there, right? Like.
Oh, really?
Slang. If you ever hang out with an actual Northern Irish person, especially in Northern Ireland, they can be like. You know, you see him, he's from the Catholic part of Belfast. And you'd be like, why? What? How do you know that? And they'd be like, his shoelaces are right to left. It's always some minor fucking... Or like the way you pronounce certain like letters of the alphabet, apparently, or like some certain words. They just go, oh, he's Catholic, he's Protestant, or he's this, he's that. Or they all can see stuff I can't see because I'm not used to it.
Wow, yeah. You have to be in it to get it, I guess.
It's,
man.
It's unnerving because it's a version of what happens in films where, like, you know, Professor main character gets sent to, like, poorly defined, swirling Middle Eastern marketplace.
Mm-hmm.
And he can't tell whether the guy who's going, come with me, is like a scam artist or a mugger or really does have the amulet, you know.
Yeah.
It's that, but everyone's white and they're speaking English, so it's doubly sort of like, hang on a minute, I should understand all of this, and yet, I just don't know the social codes or the cues or whatever.
Yes, exactly. You're right. Yeah. Yes. I was handed a £10 note here because I'm doing okay, Pierre. I'm doing quite well. I was handed a ten pound note. And I'd never seen, well, of course, the new builds as well, the gut ones, the new plastic ones that we have.
Oh, yeah.
But it's a Northern Irish £10 note, because, of course, Northern Ireland is in the UK, but they have their own notes, like Scotland do.
Yes.
And it said, you know, pound sign 10, and then a picture of a guy with hair like Einstein. And you're like, who's that? I guess they're famous in Northern Ireland. But like a cartoon drawing of this guy with just this mad frizzy hair. And then on the top, it said Bank of Ireland. And it just looked like a £10 note with the pound symbol 10 and then Bank of Ireland at the top. It looked like Pro Evolution Soccer had made a £10 note. it was like a fake £10 note someone made in like China. And they don't quite know what the UK is, because they put £10, but then the Bank of Ireland at the top.
Or like some money from an American thing where they've just gone, like, the prop department have just been told to make some European money.
Yeah, exactly, yeah.
Yeah, it should be like £10, Bank of Ireland, and then the guy with frizzy hair's got like a Turkish fez on. You know, you're Europe money.
And then the music that you hear over it is, oh.
Yeah. And but then like in a sort of accordions. You just cover every possible bass.
The most foreign shot in movie history. Oh, £10, Bank of Ireland.
Is there an explanation? I mean, presumably it's like an old thing where like it's still technically the Bank of Ireland from like hundreds of years ago or something. Or?
Oh, I didn't find out. You know, I mean, in order for a bank to print the money, it has to be an existing bank, right? It has to be the central bank.
Mm-hmm.
But then the Bank of Ireland sounds like it'd be the central bank of the Republic of Ireland.
It does sound like that. Is it? Maybe it's like just to keep everyone happy.
Yeah, it's one of those weird, compromises.
Maybe it's like,
I wonder if it was in the Good Friday Agreement,
yes,
that they'd have £10, but they'd write Bank of Ireland on the top.
Yeah, so that if you're a unionist, you go, £10, that, and you're a little annoyed. But then if you're a Republican, you go, £10, what? Oh, at least we printed it. And, you know, another day of peace.
Yeah. One of Blair's masterstrokes. The Bank of Ireland £10 note.
I'm going to look this up. I want to know who this guy was.
Oh, okay.
Northern Irish £10 note. What do you think?
He will have been like... he would have just been like a prominent politician from the 1800s or something, right?
I don't know. I'm going to say... Because they don't, like, that's quite controversial, right? Even, like, literally any politician, especially from the 1800s. So I'm going to say, like...
Oh, good call.
Like, politically, a bit more neutral stuff. Poet, architect, you know?
Yeah, I think you've got it with poet. You've got it with poet. He had a poet's collar on. I think you've got it with poet.
A poet's collar, you say?
You know that kind of collar where you're like, oh, Robbie Burns would wear that. It's a kind of collar that they're always wearing in, like, paintings of, I don't know, Samuel Pepys or whatever.
I'm looking at it, and it's kind of like a Medusa guy. Is that who you mean?
That's right, yeah. His locks are snake-like, serpentine.
It looks like a carving from, like, a Roman grave or something, an ancient Roman thing. Mm. It doesn't look like an actual guy.
Yeah, it looks a bit like that Minerva carving that's in those palm-reading machines.
Yes, and it's the old Bushmills Distillery is the building. It looks like it's just a guy. It doesn't look like it's anything, or at least it's not telling me on the website.
Interesting. Is it just like the unknown Irishman?
That's the head of Medusa. It is the head of Medusa.
Oh, it's actually the head of Medusa.
Apparently, yeah, that's what it says. Huh.
Wow. That's when you know they couldn't come to a compromise about who to put on it. They're like, we want our guy. We want our guy. Look, let's just put on Medusa. That is equally foreign to all of us. Medusa? Fine, Medusa. Medusa's pretty cool.
Yeah.
I've no gripes with Medusa.
We're just going to put on a monster. And you can decide... If you think
Fine.
That's good or not.
Look, if you can't come to an agreement on this, it's going to be Pennywise the Clown from It. All right?
What would be the most neutral person just to put on all the Northern Irish banknotes? Just Jerry Seinfeld.
Yeah, because he's Jewish American, not Irish American. So that's neutral.
Yeah.
As far as the Irish are concerned, right?
Yeah, well, that's true. He is American, though, so maybe it would be best just to put on, like, just Confucius.
Yeah.
So it's just Confucius, and that's it.
Does Belfast have... I feel like Belfast has a strong Chinese community.
Oh,
maybe
yeah,
that one
it does.
As well. But because I looked up, and this is because I'm a caricature, for lunch today, I just typed into Google Maps Chinese restaurant, and... You know what? A lot more red pins came up than I expected.
Yeah. Belfast, it seems to be like the main immigrant community in not only in Northern Ireland, but I think Ireland generally.
Yes.
I think.
We won it.
I'm going to look at, Ireland minorities. Because you don't often hear about people moving to Ireland, do you?
No, it's very much a moving from kind of country.
Yeah, famously. One way.
It's one of those, like, the Irish diaspora is larger than the Irish population, right?
Yes, yeah, by like quite a long way.
And I guess you could say, you know, I mean, if yeah, I guess Israel is similar, right? Israel would be the same.
Yes.
Are they the only two?
Well, Israel, well, it's, well, it depends on
I
how
mean,
you...
I mean, obviously, like, yeah, exactly. Historically speaking, it's not the same. But, I mean, as far as sort of a whole, you know, a people's nation goes...
Well, it's a, it depends, though, because the difference is that, like, the majority of Jews worldwide don't say that they're Israeli, whereas all the Irish Americans say, I'm Irish.
Yeah.
So it's not analogous, really.
Yeah. I'm trying to think of another large American diaspora.
American diaspora? Polish and German.
Hmm.
No one American ever says they're English, do they?
No, it's rare. Sometimes if like they have to talk about their grandparents or great grandparents, they go, they were English. But they never say, I'm English. Let's go to an English pub.
It's weird, isn't it? Because there's, I mean, statistically, they kind of, a lot more of them should, right?
Yeah, I mean, yeah, maybe there's so many English descendant Americans that it's not even worth mentioning.
Like, it's too obvious.
Yeah. They're more likely to say Scottish or Irish or even Welsh sometimes.
That's a rare thing, isn't it? Where you discover some Americans who are, like, really into their Welsh identity. That's a real pleasure, I think.
A real pleasure?
Yeah, I
love
that.
Pleasure!
It's a pleasure for my...
It's a pleasure to hear of your Welsh ancestry.
I find that a real pleasure because I know that they aren't getting any fucking credit for it at all.
The Welsh?
No, the person. In America, it's cool to be Irish or Scottish. You get a kilt, you get to pop around on St. Patrick's Day, you can go Ochi the New
of
or whatever.
You get nothing for being Welsh.
What's the marketing for the Welsh in America? You got Tom Jones and kind of Michael Sheen, but not really. That's it.
Catherine Zeta-Jones?
Yeah, a bit. But even then, I'd say most of them wouldn't even know where she's from. Like, no one gets their dick sucked in America for saying they're Welsh. Put it that way.
No one gets their dick sucked for being Welsh in Wales.
Yeah, especially not there. Especially not there. That would be outrageous if that worked. Yeah, so like whenever any American is like, my Welsh heritage, I always think like, oh, great, that you actually really are interested in your own, I don't know, family history, the culture of Wales, the language. Whereas if they just go, Irish heritage, what they mean is I live in Boston, or I support the Celtics, or I like drinking. They don't mean anything sincere. It's never sincere. Scottish, pretty much the same thing. German, they often just mean Oktoberfest. Whereas with Welsh, it's got to be sincere because what else is there in the American culture?
Well, when you know, I was in New York when the Euros finals happened this year.
Yes.
England versus Italy. And so I went to like a sports bar and watched it. And it was packed out with Americans with England shirts and Americans with Italian shirts. And so there were some sort of rather quiet English associating Americans there, but the Italian Americans were amazing. They were like straight out of The Sopranos. Like if an Italian player got knocked over, they'd be like, "What are you fucking patuda maru? What are you? Come on, ref! What are you, ref? Some kind of galubanana? Come patooty pooty!" And they're just throwing in all this like New York Italian stuff, but shouting about the Italy football team. It was great. What are you, a gabagoonoo? Oh.
I always wonder if those words are like words that no one in Italy uses, or if they do it like they use them like 100 years ago, or like only in Sicily, or what's going on?
I mean, a lot of what's in The Sopranos is Sicilian because they take off the final vowel at the end of the words. So instead of Madonna, they say Madon.
Interesting.
And stuff like that. Yeah, so that's a Sicilian connection, is taking off the vowel at the end.
Okay.
Yeah, it's an interesting one, that.
Yeah, because, I mean, Yeah, that's probably something that Italians get quite annoyed about, where someone's like, hey, like this, and they're basically saying, like, because it's like so Sicilian, it's the equivalent of saying haggis to someone from London, right? Like, it's so specific, the food.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. Yeah.
Someone's just like, oh, I'm from London. Like, hey, I love that haggis, you guys, and the bagpipes.
I had breakfast here in Belfast, obviously, and not a stereotype, but they did have two forms of cooked bread available next to each other.
Nice. But how much potato, Phil?
One was a potato scone. One was a potato bread.
Yep.
And the other was a soda bread.
Mmm.
But I thought, yeah, it was like a white soda bread. I thought soda bread was like a brown kind of thing.
Yeah, I think it can be both. How did you find the potato scone? I think if they're done well, they can be great.
Lovely. Quite sweet. I mean, it didn't feel good for me. It was like someone had deep fried the bun of a McDonald's burger. A bit nicer than that. A bit crunchier.
Yes, I see. I know what you mean. And did the menu did the menu call it a full Irish breakfast?
Oh, there was no menu, Pierre. It was get to the buffet, bare hands, take what you can and get out. Get out. Take what you can and get out.
And get out. And take me through it, because you and I have had hotel breakfasts together before. Did you go for multiple visits, you know?
Yeah, you know me too well. I clocked up two visits, Pierre.
Nice.
I'm ashamed to say, but it's because I went heavy on the scrambled eggs on my first visit, and it was left with a chunk of scrambled egg to eat. I thought I can't have this nude. It needs to be accompanied. So I got another triangle of soda bread and another small sausage.
Yes.
Those size of hotel breakfast sausages where you can eat the perfect amount of sausage because you can be so precise. They're just that right size of sausage. They're small, so you can just sort of by increments eat your way up to the perfect amount of sausage in your body. Because when they're very big proper sausages, like often you'll want 2.5 or 1.5, but with these small hotel sausages your amount of sausage intake can be comprised of full length sausages, complete integer sausages. I think that was the brand, actually, Integer Sausages.
Integer Sausages, yeah.
Yeah.
Get them into Integer Mouth.
Integer Sausages, but I'm Integer Mouth. That's threatening again. Put them into your Integer Mouth.
But you'd do it.
You would. They're irresistible. They don't let you resist.
Yes, it's difficult to get the right amount of sausage, and it's difficult to get if you're not early to it, you don't get the crisp bacon on top. You get the wet pink flaps.
Mm. Wet shiny bacon.
Shiny, soggy, with floppy.
With the strips of fat still in like original condition. Still.
Yeah.
Like raw wet fat.
Yeah, like steamed to the gelatinousness.
Steamed, yeah. Like boiled fat.
Yeah, yes it is. Yeah, it really is. Yes.
Healthy steamed bacon fat.
Soggy.
On the reddest, pinkest bacon, but with the texture of like the middle of a steak. You know what I mean?
Oh God, unfortunately I do know what you mean. Soggy, 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 floppy, and shiny, three of the least popular dwarves.
Except for in some quarters, the most popular.
Oh, yeah. Soggy the dwarf is... he's a problem because he refuses to explain why he's soggy. Could be perfectly innocent, but it could be really horrible. It's impossible to know.
Soggy the dwarf.
another possible title for your series of pornos.
Hold up. Normally, being a little extra can be a bit much, but when it comes to healthcare, it pays to be extra. And United Healthcare makes it easy with Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they supplement your primary plan, helping you manage out-of-pocket costs without the usual requirements and restrictions like deductibles and enrollment periods. So when it comes to covering your medical bills, you can feel good about being a little extra. Visit uh1.com to find the Health Protector Guard plan for you.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-. So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Are you... So you're, it's literally a flying visit for you to Belfast. Go in, be a mastermind, leave.
Enter Northern Ireland. Master my mind. Leave Northern Ireland. That's the schedule.
And are you going to... Have you got a sort of plan re the airport? Are we going to get there early and avail ourselves of stuff? Like, are you going to rush through? I like to plan airports.
Oh, well, it's all like... Because it's a TV production, they don't take any chances. They book the car for you. They make sure you're in it. They want to know exactly where you are at all times. So I'm getting picked up at like 4 or something, and then off to the airport. Back tonight. Back in time for late dinner and maybe even a glass of scotch.
Nice. Very nice.
Scotch egg. I like to blend up some scotch egg and just down it as a nightcap.
A glass of Scottish eggs. It's funny, isn't it? Like, Scotch egg is one of the few examples where I think it feels less offensive to say Scotch rather than more.
Yes. What is the problem with Scotch anyway? What is the issue? What's it?
It's very like Victorian and old fashioned, and it's sort of I think it's just associated with speaking contemptuously about Scottish people as if they're this kind of a subservient kind of naughty race.
Yeah.
Like it's always...
I mean, hardline Scots, and they exist, believe it or not. Hardline Scots, they won't even call Scotch whiskey Scotch. They say it's whiskey.
Yes. They're part of a community of Scots who are determined to try and portray themselves as innocent, deeply screwed over victims of imperialism as opposed to active participants. But now Scotch is still, it's rude. I mean, if you see it in Victorian stuff set in the Victorian times, it's always like some English guy with huge sideburns saying, the thing about the Scotch is that they love to be cold. They just don't like being indoors. You know, it's always some insane,
sure,
like Victorian race theory happening directed at Scottish people. But I think it would feel more pointed at this point to say a Scottish egg.
Would you like a Scottish egg?
These are how eggs are had in Scotland, would be the sort of implication of what
like
you're
this.
Saying.
Yeah, they come out covered in sausage meat.
they do terrible things to the chickens to ensure it.
They just feed them integer sausages all day. They feed them integer beaks. Until they lay Scotch eggs.
Yeah, and then someone's like, "Oh, and do they feed them breadcrumbs as well?" It's like, "Don't be stupid. That's actually very bad for birds."
Yeah, never do that. Never feed birds bread. It'll make them inflate.
How many decades were we feeding ducks and other birds bread before someone went, "You know, this is bad"? I mean, it feels like 60 years or something.
Also, it's not like the numbers dropped. It's not like there was this great accidental cull of ducks. They're all still here. Are we just like... Have you got to the point of civilization where we literally don't give ducks gluten intolerance? Is that where we're at? Like, oh no, they're fine, but they feel a bit bloated. They need a yogurt afterwards. It's like, okay, well, who cares? They're ducks. Have we hit that point of compassion in our society?
I think you're... There didn't seem to be a dip in the duck population? Or are we just not duck-aware enough?
Maybe someone just took them flying south for the winter too personally. Where are you going? What did we do?
Before their eyes dropped to the bread in their hands and they thought, I see. And then shouting after them, come back. When you come back, it will be different.
We can change.
There won't be any more of this. And they're kind of flopping the baguette.
Throwing it to the ground and then crushing it under the heel of their boot into the snow.
I didn't know! And then they throw it onto the lake in disgust and the birds start pecking it and they go, no! Fuck! I have so much to unlearn.
I've literally fucked a duck. Fuck a duck. I've actually done it.
I thought it was a saying, but it's what I was living.
Boy. I understand where fuck a duck comes from, because it rhymes. Fuck a duck.
Yeah.
But where does Christ on a bike come from? Christ on a bike? Where does it come from? Why? Why a bike?
I suppose on a bike he'd be even more shocking.
I guess so.
I suppose you're already sort of thinking, oh my god, he's back, and then
he's risen.
But then on a bike you think he's risen and he's been busy.
He's risen and he's rad. Is he doing like BMX tricks and like
he cycles on water?
Yeah, nice. Yes.
I suppose he'd have to. Yeah, he'd be doing sweet kick flips off waves and stuff.
You know what? You know, being quite into wine as I am now.
Yeah.
It's gone so bad that I genuinely, from time to time, think, you know, when Jesus turned water into wine. Do you think it was any good? What wine?
Yeah.
Like, what do you think? What wine do you think it was? Was it full-bodied? Was it a Bordeaux blend? Was it old vine? I guess, presumably.
Yes, Old Testament vine.
Old Testament vine.
That's a good point. Well, actually, you know what? Isn't there that thing where he turns the water into wine because it's at the wedding party and the guy didn't have enough wine or something?
Yeah, one of Jesus' more fun miracles.
Yeah,
very fun. And I'd say trivial. Pretty trivial. Like, someone's wedding. He just thought, this wedding's a bit lame.
No, it's because they ran out of wine and it was going to be a big problem.
Yeah, but sort of like, compared to the lepers, it just seems a little less pressing.
It was... I can't remember the full context, but the point is that there is a feedback on the wine in the story.
Oh, is there?
Yes, because the guests say to the host, you're, you know, whatever, you're brilliant or whatever, because he brings up the magic wine and everyone drinks it. And he says, oh, most hosts say give you the best wine first and then they give you plonk after you're drunk because you don't notice. But you've saved this amazing stuff till last.
Right, interesting. So it's good. Well, even then, people were using... good wine first and bad wine later. Even then.
It's in a tale as old as time.
I genuinely never felt so connected to the Bible as I do in this moment.
So it's literally the oldest trick in the book, except the book is the Bible.
Ah, it is the oldest. You know, we like to think that we've progressed so much in these millennia, but really we're the same people. That freaks me out sometimes when I go, oh, fuck, we're actually the same people.
It's horrifying, isn't it? And in fact, you know what, there's another Bible quote.
We'd just written less down. That's the only difference. We'd written less down.
It's King Solomon, there's nothing new under the sun, Phil.
Yes, but at night, all kinds come out to play.
That's a very, like... a kind of nominally, like, that's like a guy from 300 years ago who's trying to sort of imply that he runs some sort of, you know, orgy club or something. King Solomon said, "There's nothing new under the sun, but when the sun is gone, all sorts of novelties emerge, pleasures of the night." King Solomon should have stayed up later.
I recently found out that one of my favorite sayings, which is "this too shall pass," was it's from a Hebrew story or an old Jewish story about, I can't remember now, but it's something to the effect of a king asked a jeweler to create something that would make a sad man happy and a happy man sad, a sick man well and a well man sick. And he went away and he just inscribed a bracelet that said, "This too shall pass."
It sounds to that about effect. Right, yeah.
Yeah. And "This too shall pass" is just, it works so well. Every time I feel bad now, I'm like, oh, but in a while it won't be bad. And it always works out that way.
It's a shame, isn't it, that so many of the wisest things sound obvious and stupid when you're young.
Yeah, you're like, oh, shut up, Dad.
Yeah, I know things end, Dad.
Yeah. And then you grow up and you go, oh, why is this finished?
Will this ever end?
Yeah, but there's some good stuff in them books. There's also some fucking crackers stuff that you mustn't pay any attention to. But there's also some good stuff.
Your use of the word "mustn't" is really fun there. You really mustn't listen to this. Like the bit where you have to kill a rival tribe and then circumcise the corpses and leave them in a big pile.
Yeah, that's not as catchy, and I don't live by that edict quite as much as "this too shall pass."
Yeah, although if you were having to circumcise corpses, it's helpful to think this will end. I won't be circumcising corpses for my whole life. This is just something I have to do now.
Yeah, and all that stuff about, like, the appropriate punishment for someone who doesn't hold the door open for you is that you enslave their daughter. I reckon, like, probably skip that stuff.
It's also quite funny, you know, the whole thing of, like, it's pretty airtight, treat others as you want to be treated, right?
Yeah.
It's pretty airtight, but what is fun is if you assume that everyone is already behaving like that, then you can be very rude to rude people because you're like, well, then that's what you want, isn't it? But you have to start with the presumption that they are behaving as if they would as how they'd like to be treated, but obviously that's not the case.
Yeah, it's also like it's a tough one if you are interacting with a sadomasochist.
Yes, because either they're going to enjoy whatever it is, but what if Phil, tragically, you're a sadomasochist who's not willing to dish it out?
Ah, right, yeah, and you want others to do unto you what you won't do unto others.
Yes, yeah.
And you want them to do it unto you so hard, do it unto me. That's what they say when they're strapped up against the wall.
Yeah,
and do it unto me, unto me.
They're saying they're trying to emphasize how willing they are to turn the other cheek so you can hit the other cheek. Not yeah, because they forgive you necessarily, just because they want more. Very tough to be a biblical sadomasochist in some senses.
Have you read the St. James, the King James Bible?
I have read a lot of the Bible. I can't vouch for whether or not every time it was a King James version, which has the most interesting like version of the language. I think a lot of the modern simplified versions of the Bible are horseshit.
Yeah, they're pretty nice. I feel like I should just sit down. It's one of those books I think you just like you should just sit down and get through. Although I feel like it will have a bit of a Seinfeld effect, because it is the, you know, it is the originator of so many, not, well, the King James Bible, English phrases,
yeah,
but also sort of narrative, what's the word?
Devices?
Narrative, devices and cliches and tropes.
Mm.
That you go, oh, this is all a bit hack. But of course, it was the first one.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, that's true. And also, like, I guess, well, I mean, there's interesting stuff. Like, you can just, maybe you just do the New Testament. There's a lot of the Old Testament, which is people begatting other people.
Yeah, the first, like, five pages is just ancestry.com for Abraham. You just have to read his ancestry.com results for, like, half an hour.
Yeah. Yeah. you can find out some interesting stuff. Like, I think of the Gospels, two don't mention virgin birth.
Don't mention the virgin birth. That's my favorite scene in Fawlty Towers. which doesn't mention virgin birth?
I think it's Mark and John.
Right.
Like, of the sort of four Gospels that describe the birth of Christ, two of the four don't mention that it was a virgin birth. They don't make a point of it.
Oh, interesting. I wonder what goss they had.
Well, of the Gospels, they were the ones going like, if you believe John.
Look, I'm not saying she isn't a virgin, but I'm not going to say she is, if you know what I mean.
Which ones is it? Not virgin birth not mentioned. Yeah, there's interesting stuff in it. And like you say, I think, you know, oh, here we go. The New Testament, except for the two accounts of the birth of Jesus in St. Matthew and St. Luke, the New Testament does not mention the virgin birth anywhere.
Interesting. It's kind of like how in Casablanca, he never says, play it again, Sam.
Oh, does he not?
No, he never says it. It's one of these imagined tropes. And not imagined tropes, imagined quotes. But yeah, Mary wasn't actually a virgin. Maybe. Sorry if I'm going to be Dan Brown over here. But maybe the Bible's not everything it purports to be.
Pump the brakes, Dawkins.
Man, I love Dan Brown. Dan Brown got me reading, you know. When I was a teenager, I'd read, and I don't exaggerate, every Dan Brown book.
Really?
That he'd published. Every single one. Angels and Demons, The Da Vinci Code, Digital Fortress, the other one. I read them all. And this is how much of a Dan Brown dork I am. Digital Fortress is the best one.
Whoa.
That's right. No one talks about it. No one even heard of Digital Fortress. But it's actually better than the Da Vinci Code.
Wow. Phil, if only we could see a kind of frozen in time comparison between you now, which I'm going to call Fine Wine Phil, and Teenage Phil rocking out to Kid Rock and plowing through Dan Brown.
Listening to the kid and reading the Brown, baby.
The only thing I love...
Just give me a room, a glass of Coca-Cola, a good Brown, and put on the kid.
I like two things. Illuminati conspiracies that involve the Vatican and songs about the old watering hole. Those are the two things I like.
But you know what? And I got a bit Schwarzenegger there. I can actually chart my progression as a reader.
Yeah.
Because I didn't really like books. I certainly didn't like fiction.
Yeah.
Up until like my teens, really. And then I read Dan Brown and I loved it. And I started reading more books. And I graduated from uni having read a lot more very good books. And Dan Brown wrote a new book called The Lost Symbol. And I read five pages and I could not continue. It was unreadable. It was literally the man walked into the room and looked up at the high ceiling where the shiny gold imagery made him think of gold. And it's just like, what? I couldn't do it. And yeah, it really, you know.
But that's impressive, isn't it? Because it does mean that, like it's kind of reassuring in the sense that it's basically proof that art exists and can be good or bad.
Yes, and also that you can work your way up it to an extent, yes. To a degree.
Yeah.
To a degree. There gets to a level where it's subjective and about taste, but there are also hierarchies of quality, even in something as subjective as art.
Yes, yes. I remember, do you ever remember, this is niche, like, I mean, he died, you know, 10, 15 years ago. There's an art critic called Brian Sewell.
I'm not familiar, no.
So he was quite camp and arch, and they used to do impressions of him on Dead Ringers, the TV show, and maybe the radio show as well. And he'd sort of speak like this, and he was very sort of like, he was incredibly, incredibly like old fashioned in terms of art. Like it was all just like fine art, opera, classical music, like portraits, oils, statues, you know, the old school stuff.
Mm.
And he was very like, you know, tie, waistcoat, tweeds sort of thing. Very, very old fashioned. Very camp, and he would say, you know, all modern art is just trash and fashion, you know, things like that, whatever. But yeah. They tried to do a prank on him and two other art critics for some reality show. I was reading about it the other day, and they got like a monkey or a dog or something to just paint a load of nonsense.
Mm.
And they showed it to Brian Sewell and these two other like more fashionable art critics. And the other two were like, yeah, it's great. The form is really interesting and I can see what the artist is doing. And Brian Sewell was just like, bang on, basically going, there's no humanity in these brushstrokes. They're not driving at anything. It's hollow. It's useless and whatever. So the prank didn't even work on him.
Oh, good man.
Yeah. Smashed it.
It's like when you watch that that vodka sommelier.
Yeah. Yes. And it works.
And you didn't believe that you could taste the difference between vodka, but this guy was like, this is the good one, this is the bad one.
Yeah, I find it very reassuring because you do always worry that it's just a massive, like everything is just someone making it up for themselves and that there's no objectivity in anything to any degree and it's all just like whatever you think.
Yeah.
But it's nice to have an implication every now and then that there is something more solid than that out there. Something less postmodern and make it up yourself.
Yeah, something you can grasp. Something you can grab a hold of. Something you can get your teeth into, Pierre. Get your teeth into
it. Get your teeth into it like an integer bloody sausage.
I can't believe we finally come up with a new product, a new consumable product. It's been a long time since we devised Lucky Kentucky, but now we finally have something to wash down with Lucky Kentucky, integer sausages.
Oh. And coming soon, integer sausages with a Lucky Kentucky glaze.
Oh, wow, of course, delish.
It's a CoPro.
Lucky Kentucky. Gosh.
Well, Phil.
Well, I'd better get out.
Yeah, you've got to get out.
The country.
Out.
Well, not the country. The nation. What would you call Northern Ireland? Nation.
The devolved territory? Yeah, I'm not sure.
But you say the four nations of the UK, don't you?
Yeah, but it's because you can. There's the people who are like, oh, well, I'm Irish, but I'm a unionist or whatever. Like, it's a whole thing.
Oh, okay.
I don't know.
Right.
Best not to get into it and just to say it's time to leave the island of Ireland, the bit that is governed by the UK. Please forgive me. Goodbye.
Did you see that guy on Question Time a few months ago when he was like, why don't the people on Ireland, so you know, the people in Northern Ireland, people in the Republic of Ireland, you know, they live on the same island of Ireland. Why don't they just combine it to make the one Ireland?
Yes,
and everyone's looking at him like, have you been paying attention for the last 40 years? And it's like, and this guy, and I felt so sorry for him because he just, and of course, you know, to be fair to him, if you're born today, you'd be like, well, yeah, why not? Why aren't they all just living on one island? That seems a pretty convenient border to draw. But this guy was just like, I don't get it. Why can't they? Why aren't they just one country?
It's amazing to just Philomena kunk yourself like that. Perfect. So perfect.
Okay, smoky.
Okay, well, have a safe flight, man. And thank you for listening, cheers, everyone. Enjoy some integer sausages.
Yum, yum, yum. Integers in your mouth. Integer mouths. Bye-bye.
Bye.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.